Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. Our star this week is Lloyd Perrin. An act of violence is swift, momentary. Its consequences, however, are far-reaching and touch the lives of many. An act of violence, and a man's life hangs in the balance. Supported by the faith of a young Salvation Army officer, balanced by the heavy gravity of circumstantial evidence. These are the elements of our story, The Last Witness, written for Heartbeat Theater by Arthur Tibbles and starring Lloyd Perrin as Lieutenant Bradford Allen. Here then is Act One of The Last Witness.
All right, Blount, you know how to set it up. Have Chapek in that lineup. Pick out four or five other prisoners who have the same general appearance. We'll be ready in a few minutes. Bring me back on the phone as soon as you're ready. I'm sorry, Lieutenant Allen, to have kept you waiting, but a district attorney's life is a busy one.
Quite all right, Mr. Sharp.
Well, now then, I've been checking the investigator's report. You know, the men from headquarters with whom you talked.
Yes.
Let me see. You're an officer of the Salvation Army. A lieutenant, isn't that it?
Yes, sir.
That's fine. Splendid. Great work. Have you talked with any of your superior officers about this Chapek matter? Been advised by them?
Yes, I have, by the divisional commander, Colonel Riley. Mm-hmm. He advised me that I wouldn't be called upon to violate any confidences given me as a minister of the gospel.
And, of course, we wouldn't ask you to do that. This is merely a simple matter of identification.
Yes, I understand that. Your Mr. Stubbs explained that all he wanted me to do was to see if I could recognize any of the men in the pictures that
and
he showed me.
You couldn't? That is, you couldn't make any positive identification of one of those men?
Mr. Sharp, those were evidently police identification photos.
Yes, yes.
You know how those police pictures are. Each man looks a little like every other man. They're all dressed alike in jail dungarees. But if I could see this man, talk to this man...
Well, first, you've heard this man's story. Here, let me fill you in from these papers. See now, then. His name is Frank Chapek. Hungarian, came to this country as a refugee, properly admitted and sponsored. He had a job in Jersey City, worked 5 months, quarreled with his employer and quit. Now, some of the reports on his behavior are conflicting. He's been described as a dreamer and a malcontent, sullen, not talkative, suspicious in many of his actions. In fact, two of the lodgers in that rooming house, where he was living... say that Chapek always seemed to be hiding something or hiding from something.
Not what would be called a happy man.
Is there such a thing, Lieutenant, as a happy man? But now, let's get the whole case straight up to this point. Now, here's just where the district attorney's office stands. Chapek's landlady was killed, struck down brutally with a blunt weapon, which we have in our possession. The killing occurred at approximately 8 o'clock on the night of the last January 15th. The woman was found dead in her apartment at the rooming house where Chapek lived.
You're certain of the time, 8 o'clock?
Within a few minutes, yes. Her body was found by her sister and brother-in-law who had come to call. She was last seen alive by two delivery men from the Economy Furniture Store. Both the delivery men noticed, in particular... that this woman had a considerable sum of money in her handbag even after she had paid them $90 for the used refrigerator they delivered to her.
But I don't see why these...
The delivery men and her relatives check out clean. But now for Chapek and how you are concerned.
The detectives told me that...
The landlady, Chapek's landlady, was killed at 8 o'clock or a few minutes earlier. Not before 7:45. That we already have definitely established. We have a good deal of circumstantial evidence which ties Chapek in with the killing. Mighty good evidence, believe me.
But circumstantial evidence, nonetheless.
We can talk about your layman's point of view of circumstantial evidence some other time, Lieutenant. Now, Chapek says he has an alibi for that time. And for an hour after that time.
Well, if that's the
Lieutenant,
case...
Did you have a religious meeting at your 14th Street building at approximately 7:30 in the evening of last January 15th?
Yes, sir. We hold services at that time every evening.
Were you present at that meeting at that time?
Yes, sir. I certainly was.
And immediately following that meeting, your Salvation Army workers served food to those who had attended the service?
As always, there was food for those who wanted it. They all did.
Good. Now, after those men had eaten, did you talk with any of them individually, that is?
Why, yes, outside, in the hallway. Some of the men stopped for a word, perhaps a thank you or to...
Did any one of those men talk to you about a job, some sort of temporary work?
I'm sure several did. I've checked back, and we had 3 jobs to send men out on that night.
Well, was there anything out of the ordinary about all of that? The meeting, the food, the jobs?
Not that I recall. I can check back again.
Now, Chapek insists that he went to your religious meeting that night, the 15th of January. He claims he ate there, and then after eating, he swears he talked to some young man, a young man in a Salvation Army uniform, about a job. Did Chapek talk to you?
If I could see this Frank Chapek, sir.
Just a minute. If you, in all sincerity, if you can recognize this man, if you can positively tell me that Frank Chapek was at that religious meeting, ate his supper there, and talked with you about a job, well, Lieutenant Allen, if you can do that, Chapek has an alibi.
And if I can't provide that alibi for Frank Chapek, Mr. District Attorney?
The evidence in the case will hang Frank Chapek. Yes, District Attorney speaking. Yes, we're ready. Thanks. I'll bring him down to the lineup in 5 minutes. Right. All right, Lieutenant Allen, if you'll come along with me, we'll give you a chance to identify Chapek. If you can, he's a free man. If you can't identify him, a jury will certainly find Frank Chapek guilty of murder.
Okay, Mr. District Attorney, let's have the word. Did Allen identify Frank Chapek, hand him the alibi?
Now, see here, Miss Marks, I can't give your paper an exclusive on this. What'll the other papers say? You know I've set up a press conference for 5 o'clock.
Sure. You've asked every political writer in town to be at that press conference, as well as the regular reporters.
Well, what's wrong with having all the members of the press?
If you didn't get an identification on Chapek, this would be just the time to announce that Murdoch Sharp, District Attorney of Central City, is now a candidate for governor of the state.
What possible connection between Chapek and...
Naughty. Oh, I can see it now. Poor old landlady, brutally murdered, brilliant district attorney investigates and prosecutes, ungrateful and villainous refugee to hang.
Now, look here, Miss Marks.
A conviction might do the job. Put you in the executive mansion.
I've served this state for many years.
And you probably wouldn't make a worse governor than Doc Tanner's candidate.
Oh, that's damning me with faint praise.
Come on, now let's have it straight. Did Allen identify?
Well, if you won't jump the gun with the story, no. He said... Well,
you don't sound too enthusiastic. He didn't identify.
That young Allen is a very cautious man.
I get it. Allen didn't say yes, but he didn't say no.
That kind of indecision could well be more damaging on the stand than you might think. It'll leave the jury with the impression that Allen is trying to give Chapek the benefit of the doubt.
Look here, do you believe that? Allen may be young, he may be new in his work with the Salvation Army, but you can't question his sincerity.
No. Don't quote me to that effect. No, it's just...
It's just that I have a hunch that young Lieutenant Allen hasn't worked quite hard enough on his memory.
And if you're going to your editor with such a story...
I'm going to see Lieutenant Allen. And if my hunch is right, friend, I wouldn't announce my candidacy for governor today. Now, Lieutenant Allen, I know I'm a nosy female. But after all, I am a newspaper reporter with a job to do. As a matter of fact, I think we both have the same job to do, to get the truth.
But, Miss Marks, I've told all the other reporters everything I can remember, all I know, that I'm not able to make a positive identification of Frank Chapek.
Well, please, let's sit down here a minute. Let's sort of check back over this whole situation.
Oh, I've been over the whole thing so many times in my own mind. Well, the services began as usual at 7:30. We're always very prompt about that.
But just a minute. You know, you always start your story with a meeting. Let's go back a little further, to that afternoon, perhaps. Did anything unusual happen? Now, it was the 15th of January.
Let me think. The 15th... My diary, that's when I got the new one.
Your new diary? Yes?
But that wouldn't have anything to do with Chapek. My mother had sent me a new diary.
And you're using that new diary?
No. Well, you see, I'd begun to use another. This new one was quite small, really a pocket diary. You know the kind.
Yes. Well, what time did you receive this new diary?
Let me see. Just before the meeting. It was a small package, and I recall the major saying I'd better take it and not run a chance of its being mislaid. So I opened the package and slipped the diary into my pocket.
You still have that unused diary?
It should be right here. Right in this desk drawer. Saw it here the other day and...
Well, you know, could there be any connection?
I thought so. Here it is, see?
May I look at it?
Of course. There. See? I've never had any occasion to use it. Thought perhaps I would be able to use it next year.
Look here. There are three or four pages from memoranda here in the back of the diary, and one of these pages has been torn out. Do you remember that?
I haven't used that unless... Miss Marks, I did tear that page out, and I must have torn it out on the 15th of January, because that's the only day I ever carried that diary with me, but I can't see...
Does that bring anything back?
Well, just a moment. Let me think. See. I wonder if... Wait, I have something here on the desk. That job book must be here somewhere.
Job book?
No. Just a loose-leaf notebook. We list the temporary jobs in it as they come in. It's a page for each day. Wish we had enough jobs in any one day to fill a whole page.
There, is that the book there in the corner of the desk?
Oh, of course. It's a matter of me. Now, let's check on January 15th once more. I've done this 50 times, but... I know there were only three jobs. Man to cut lawn, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Man to wash kitchen walls. That was taken care of. Man to wash dishes. Let's see.
What?
Bistropolis Pantry, phone after 8 p.m. Man for dishes.
Does that bring anything else to mind?
Call after 8 o'clock. Lehigh, 1616. 1616. I'm sure I wrote that number down for someone. You know, Miss Marks, if the district attorney would only allow me to talk privately with Chapek...
Not a chance. Sharp's well satisfied with things the way they stand right now. You couldn't make a positive identification. And he has lots of circumstantial evidence. You know, the testimony of those two men who lived in the same rooming house, the $150 in cash they found on Chapek when he was arrested, he couldn't or wouldn't account for all that money.
If I could only talk alone with Chapek, it might help me to remember.
And then the DA would claim your testimony was worthless. Oh, he wouldn't try to discredit you or your organization. He'd know the jury wouldn't swallow that. But he'd try to make you out as a wishy-washy do-gooder who just couldn't bear to testify to anything that might help send a man to the gallows. No, you wouldn't get a chance to talk to Chapek. It wouldn't do any good if you did.
Miss Marks.
Yes?
You're a reporter. You can talk to Chapek.
Of course, but not unless I have something definite to talk
about. There's one question I want you to ask Chapek. Did I write down the name and address of the job he claims I talked about?
Oh, it's pretty bad, it looks like.
Yes.
But maybe if I tell him where Chapek gets money, maybe he's looking worse.
Worse? How could you be in any worse spot than you are right now, Chapek? You tell me, how did you get that money?
Oh, no, no. If I tell you, you put in newspaper. Then it happens I've done something wrong. Comes big U.S. police. Oh, yes. Oh, U.S. police put me out from country. They put you out.
You mean that perhaps they deport you? Send you back to Hungary? Look, Chapek, don't be a fool. If your story is true, if you can account for that money, prove you didn't steal it from your landlady.
Prove? Frank, Chapek is to prove. Miss, I'm already telling you, I was at the Salvation Army. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Police say killing happened at 8 o'clock. How does Chapek kill when Chapek not there?
Well, that's it, if we could prove your story.
Miss, do police find this young man I say I talked to? He's a nice boy, new uniform. Maybe not too long time in work for Salvation Army. They find? He's remember Frank Chapek?
He remembers several people, but he's not certain.
Well, he maybe sees me, he remembers, huh?
Well, he has seen you, Chapek, in the police lineup.
He knows me, yes. He says, sure, you're back. This Chapek, I see him. I tell him one time for a job.
Now, wait a minute. He told you about a job?
Sure, sure.
What kind of a job? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember pretty good. Clean dishes in some eating house.
That dishwasher's job. All right, well, try hard. Can you recall where the job was? Did you go to the restaurant? What did you do?
No, not go to... Gives telephone number and says to call. Find out if he's still for a job.
Did you telephone about the job?
Just as I'm about to try on telephone, it's no good for Chepek to speak English. Huh?
Well, if you did telephone and that restaurant man remembers...
You ask police. I am at telephone in Rumor's house where he's left. He's upstairs,
yes.
On wall, in hallway. Chepek comes in house through back door, upstairs to telephone. You know, kind of telephone you put in 10 cents.
Sure, a payphone in the upstairs hall at your rooming house. And you called?
He's only just put in 10 cents. Not yet moved numbers around. Whoop! Police run upstairs. A long hall. Whoop! Police make Chepek arrested. You understand? No call on telephone. Maybe no more Chepek ever call no more on telephone. Eh? You believe?
Well, it's all possible. But how did you know what telephone number to call for the job? You had the name of the restaurant? What, did you look it up in the phone book?
It's written on one small piece of paper. It's also written the name of the man for job.
What happened to that piece of paper? You must remember. What did you do with it?
Not quite to remember. Maybe I tried to thinking how JPEG do. Not sure. It maybe stand up piece of paper on top telephone box. It take receiver in left hand. To begin to make numbers with the right hand.
Yes.
Cannot hold paper in hand, but must see what number is to call.
Okay. But then the police rushed in. You picked up the piece of paper. Or did the police pick it up? What happened to it?
It's maybe important, this piece of paper.
Chepek, try to recall. Who wrote the name and the telephone number on the paper? Did you write it, or...
No, it's man at Salvation Army who's right.
Oh, if we could find that slip of paper. If Lieutenant Allen could recall his writing it.
Maybe... Maybe it matter we find this piece of paper, huh?
Find it, Chepek. This piece of paper may be part of a chain of evidence which could clear you completely. It might prove you are telling the truth. Then if you could explain the money, how you got that.
No. No, he's never find this paper. You go away. Chepek talk no more the newspaper. You go away. Chepek not talk anymore.
That was the first act of The Last Witness, starring Lloyd Perrin as Lieutenant Allen. An act of violence and a man's life hangs in the balance, a balance which is tipped very definitely against him. It must be righted, and perhaps even tipped in the other direction. This is an old fight of the Salvation Army, the righting of wrongs, the balancing of the scales between good and evil, the struggle to prove the worth of man. This story is a small example of the Army's belief that we all count, whether we're black or white, rich or poor, refugee or citizen. All mankind is important to them, and if they can help, they'll go all the way. This is the Salvation Army you're backing with your many and varied contributions. You're both doing a wonderful job. Please keep it up. Now, Act Two of The Last Witness, starring Lloyd Perrin as Lieutenant Allen.
That's exactly how Chepek told me his story, Lieutenant Allen. He seems to think you wrote the name and telephone number on that slip of paper and gave it to him.
It's a very logical story. I've often done just that with other men. There is something I don't understand, though.
What about Chepek's story?
That's right. This talk of his about the money... I get the impression he feels that if the authorities knew how he did get the money, the rent money that he paid his landlady that day, the $150 he had when he was arrested...
He thinks he'd be deported. That's the way his story appears to me. And I don't understand. You know, he almost seemed to choose hanging in the USA as a lesser evil.
Miss Marks, could Chepek have brought something of value into the country with him? Smuggled something in?
What? It would have had to be something small, and very valuable.
You said he was a watchmaker, a jeweler.
Jewelry. Or jewels. But he was a poor man in his own country, the report reads.
I know, but he might have had a ring, a diamond, perhaps something with sentimental value as well as cash value.
Yeah.
He had no money to pay duty to bring it into the country, so he smuggled it in.
Huh.
Now he's afraid that if the customs found out, turned the information over to immigration, well, they might deport him.
But if he pawned this, whatever it may have been, the pawn shop detail would have picked it up by now.
But why should they? The police haven't connected it with Chepek. Or if he had jewelry of any value, he might have sold it to one of his countrymen in business here.
Lieutenant, do you have that diary? You know, the new one, the one you received on the day of the murder? Do you still have it? You showed it to me.
Of course, it's right here in this drawer. There it is.
Well, let me see. Yes. See where the page is torn off? Do you suppose... Listen, if you had this diary in your pocket, if you did talk to Chapek, if you had no other slip of paper and you wanted to write down the name and address of that job...
I could have torn out one of those blank pages and...
And written the name and address on that for Chapek.
Miss Marks, I told you I recalled writing down that phone number. I'm sure I did tear that page out of this diary, and I wrote on it. If I did... If I did...
Lieutenant Allen, we're going straight down to the district attorney. If this isn't new evidence, I'll eat 10 copies of the Sunset Edition.
Now, Miss Marks, I don't expect Allen to know much about evidence, but you've been in the newspaper game long enough to know that you're giving me nothing new or different. Nothing that alters the case one iota.
But I've told you...
Told me nothing. Now, let's analyze it. First, Allen... I gave you an opportunity to identify Chapek as the man with whom you talked at 8:30 on the night of January 15th, didn't I?
Yes, sir, but...
And you could not identify him, correct?
Well, I couldn't be sure, then.
Exactly, you couldn't be sure. And now you think maybe, you think perhaps, possibly you tore a page out of an unused diary and wrote a telephone number and a name on that slip of paper.
I'm sure I did do that.
But are you sure that you gave that slip of paper to Frank Chapek? Are you 100% certain that you talked with Frank Chapek? Well, are you, Allen?
I'm almost certain.
Almost, that I... maybe, perhaps. Lieutenant Allen, those aren't words that carry weight, carry truthful conviction in a court of law. The jury wants facts, hard, cold facts.
But the more I think about this...
Allen,
the more
suppose I put you on the witness stand. Bring out your first failure to identify Chapek. Let you, in your own words, with your ifs and maybes, your surmises, your conjectures, testify before a jury. Don't you see? You look ridiculous.
How I look to you or to the court or to a jury, that doesn't matter. But if an innocent man should hang...
Innocent men don't hang.
Well, about this money, Chapek?
We think Chapek is covering up.
Well, that's more of the same specious reasoning, Miss Marks. So Chapek smuggled a jewel from the old country, held on to that jewel all this time. When he needed money for food and shelter? Well, it's impossible.
But if he did get the money from selling or pawning something like that, and he's afraid to tell us because he's...
Because he fears deportation? Ridiculous.
But the man doesn't understand our laws, our penalties.
He will. He'll soon understand our laws and our penalties.
What more do you want us to do? Find the man who gave Chapek the money? Find the torn page from Lieutenant Allen's diary? You don't want much, do you?
Lieutenant Allen... I suggest you be in court tomorrow, because to clinch the case against Frank Chapek, the state intends to call you as the last witness.
Perhaps I shouldn't have talked you into coming here to Chapek's old rooming house, Lieutenant. But it is our last chance.
No matter how foolish a thing may seem, how slight the chance to do right, we must do it. Even coming here to this rooming house where Chapek lived, where his landlady was killed, this can possibly help an innocent man. Why,
the DA might call this breaking and entering, or entering under false pretenses.
The more I think about what you said, if Chapek had a receipt, a pawn ticket, and wanted to get rid of it when he saw the police coming for him...
And if he had something with him at the phone... There's the payphone there on the wall.
Mm-hmm. I'll see. He said he propped the paper up with a number on top of the phone. Perhaps like so.
If it had been up there like that, I'm afraid the police would have found it.
Unless it could have slipped down here into the phone box.
Or Chapek poked it down some way.
Here, you see. Now, it wouldn't slide down into the place where the box is hinged.
Well, Chapek might have forced it down here. It was just a slip of paper.
I had a pocket knife.
Wait a minute. Here's a handle of an old mop. It has a metal end on it.
Yeah, but I don't see how...
Now, let me try that. I know. I'm going to... Jerry, I have the plaster on the wall. Break the phone, but who cares? If we find what we want back here, my favorite, buy the phone company a gold-plated phone and plaster up the whole house. Come on, get a hold of this and pull.
Don't hurt yourself. Here, let me...
Put your weight on it.
Wow.
Look, half a dozen slips of paper and cards. Hey, look, a pawn ticket!
Here's the page torn from my diary. And Astropolis Pantry. Here's the phone number.
And this pawn ticket is made out to Chapek on the 15th of January for a diamond wedding ring. $200, that's why.
Something tells me I won't mind going into court to testify.
If you testify, don't be too sure, Lieutenant. District Attorney Sharp wants to be governor of this state. He'll be mighty hard to convince.
I'm right. Now I know I'm right. And I know what I have to do. That's the story, Mr. Sharp. We would have told you sooner, but we just found out on our way to court.
That's it, Mr. Sharp. The pawn ticket, the page torn from Alan's diary. Now you have to give us time. You can't go on with Jake Peck's trial.
We have only this 10-minute recess.
Well, quit running for governor. This is for real. We'll get the pawnbroker who wrote that ticket down here. Lieutenant Allen is 100% sure of his identification now.
Is the state ready to proceed in the matter of Frank Chapek?
Yes, the state will proceed.
But, Mr. District Attorney...
The state will call its last witness.
He can't do this.
Take it easy. The DA is up something.
Lieutenant Bradford Allen will take the witness stand. If the court please, and if counsel for defense will indulge the state for a moment, this witness, Lieutenant Bradford Allen, an officer of the Salvation Army, will be the last witness to testify for the state. I beg of you, Mr. Defense Counsel, allow me this latitude.
Please, the court has let this man talk. What he say, no can harm from Chapek. Chapek, no kill.
In the opening to the jury, the state declared that the crime of murder for which Frank Chapek stands accused was committed on January 15th between the hours of 7:45 and 8 p.m. That the state has proved.
Chapek was not there.
Ladies and gentlemen, the state intends to get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth from this last witness. Lieutenant Allen, where were you between the hours of 7 and 9 p.m. on the 15th of January of this year?
I was at our Harbor Light Center on 14th Street in this city.
I call your attention to a man now seated at that table. Will Frank Chapek please rise and stand at his place by the table?
Mister, please, you tell what is true.
Tell me, Lieutenant, have you ever seen this man before?
I have.
Lieutenant Allen, state to the court and the jury when and where you saw Frank Chapek before.
I saw Frank Chapek at our 14th Street building on the 15th of January of this year at 8 o'clock.
It's true! True! It's true!
The state believes implicitly in your testimony. And now, if the court pleases, the state petitions that the charge of murder against Frank Chapek be dismissed. The state stands convinced that Frank Chapek is innocent.
The wonder of it all. I give my thanks to him, my heartfelt thanks.
So ends the final act of The Last Witness, starring Lloyd Perrin. Be sure and be with us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army and is one of the programs selected to be heard by our men and women overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, then, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening and have a happy week ahead.